Beautiful song. All right. Let's take our Bibles, if you would please. You can stand together and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Thank you very much. That was a beautiful song, and we appreciate so very much the girls preparing for that, those who prepared them for it. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let's begin reading verse number 1. Can we please? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse number 3 and 4, read it with me, would you please? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth. Verse number 5, the Bible says, if any man strive for mastery, also strive for mastery, so to be good at something athletically in this case, yet he's not crowned unless he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding, or the wise in all things. Now verse number 8, read that with me, and verse number 9, ready? Remember that Jesus Christ, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds. But the word of God. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may be also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, that if ye be dead with him, ye shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, yet he will deny us, or he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Verse 14, conclude with me, would you please? Father, just in a few minutes we're together, may you help me to convey the truths of this passage. And help us, we pray, in all things to glorify you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, 2 Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy in a prison cell that he's there. He has got Luke that is ministering to him, but everybody else is gone. And he writes him with some urgency, do thy diligence to come to me shortly. But if you don't get there, I want you to be challenged personally, referencing his mother, his grandmother, his ordination, the responsibilities that God has given him, and the opportunities for influence. And then he challenges him practically, chapter number 2. Chapter 3, he'll challenge him with a perilous day challenge. In chapter 4, a parting challenge as he's ready to be offered. The time of his departure is at hand. In chapter 2, he's going to very strategically say, Timothy, you've got to be like this. He said, I want you to be strong as my son in the ministry. Well, that's what I want for you, and that's what you should want for me, is that we would be strong. We would do the right thing the right way for the right reason and for a long time. And to do that, it takes strength to do that. It takes strength to stand. It takes strength to stay. It takes strength to be a soul winner, to disciple people, to keep good music and to say no to sin and to questionable things. It takes strength. It takes inner man strength to do that. He said, I want you to be strong, but not in your strength, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That means we must be continually dependent upon the Lord. Vain is the help of man. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You and I must be careful that we lean heavily upon the Lord. I hope that you will learn these wonderful words. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And say it over and over and over again. Lord, I trust you. Lord, please help me. Because the longer you go in your Christian battle, oftentimes the more serious the need is that you need God. Sometimes you'll think, I need friends, I need money. You know what need? We need God. And when you pass through the valleys of Baca or tears or challenges, you need to make it a well. He said, when you pass through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Let the waters of God's word fill your emptiness, your pools in the bottom of that well. And make prayer a priority in that time. Make the church family a priority to you. Don't run away from church. Run to church. Talked to a man, just heard about it, a sweet story of a man who was saved in our ministry, but just has gotten away from God. But Sunday, he and his wife and children were back. And they found themselves in a hole of no hope. And I'm so glad that he came back to a place. He could find a place where he could come back to be loved, to be cared for. But the local church is an important place. Prayer is an important place. And the Word of God is so important in seasons of difficulties. I want you to be strong in the grace and grace of God. You can define it however you want to. God's riches at Christ's expense, that's the acrostic of grace, and that's good. Unmerited favor, that's fantastic. But I think grace in its rawest definition, it's God's help. I want you to be strong in God's help. Now, it'd be wonderful if we had on our epitaph, you know, God helped. He was helped by God. She was helped by God. A life only God could explain. They were helped. Because that's what you want your life to do. You want your life to be helped by God. He said, I want you to be strong in the grace. The second thing he tells him in chapter 2, verse number 2, I want you to take the things that God's taught you and the people that you've observed, you've witnessed their life, and pass them on to other people. It's so important that you learn that you're not a can, you're a channel. You're not a bucket, you're a funnel. Take the things that God's taught you and pass them on. Listen, there ought to be something, it would not be unusual, and it should be very normal, that you would take a chapel thought that you hear in chapel on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And when you see a teenager that you know is saved and you're out, hey, could I tell you what I learned this week in chapel? This thing that kind of helped me. You might want to do that to your friend back home. When you go back for Christmas break, you'll take a couple chapel thoughts and say, this is what God taught me. You're taking the things you've learned and you're passing on to others. This is a classic verse for discipleship. And it's not easy to be a soul winner, but it's easier to win people to Christ than to disciple people. But what they says, take the things you've learned and pass them on to other people so they can teach others also. Because God is a God who wants us to grow by multiplication. He wants us to grow not just by addition. Now, winning people to Christ is very good, but helping people grow in the Lord is better. Because now, if you went out and you won 100 people this semester, that's wonderful. And I think you should try to win more than that. That's great. But if you only won 2 this semester, and I'm not suggesting don't win more. I'm suggesting if you disciple 2 people, and then they learn how to win people to Christ, by the time you were a senior in Bible college, there would be thousands of people that would get saved. You know, something special for me is to watch people that I lead to the Lord begin to lead other people to the Lord. And the time we spend at my kitchen table or at their kitchen table or at Dunkin' Donut discipling people or my office or their office discipling folks, and they see them grow in the Lord and give and win other people to Christ, then while I'm winning people to Christ, they're winning people to Christ. And I'm discipling someone at my house, they're discipling someone at their house. Then there's more things that go. He said, I want you to learn to duplicate yourself by discipleship. Then in chapter 2, verse number 3, he says, I want you to be strong like a soldier. Now, many things, most of us, when I see a soldier, I have an element of admiration for them. I didn't even go to the Boy Scouts when I was growing up. I didn't get to go in any military. I'd always kind of wanted to. But I knew the Lord had called me to the ministry, and whenever I had the opportunity to go to the recruiter and talk about that, even though I thought it would be a great option if I weren't called to the Lord, but I was called to serve the Lord, and I'm glad I am. My dad was in the military. I admire when people are in the military. But things we admire about soldiers, number one, they're usually pretty strong. They usually have gone through some difficulties. They're strong. He said, I want you to be strong like a soldier. Number two, I want you to be selfless like a soldier. A soldier doesn't go someplace to fight his own battle. He's fighting on behalf of another. People that are over in the Middle East are not necessarily doing it because they care about the Middle East. They're doing it as an extension of the one who chose them to be in the military and who trained them. They have to have a selfless mentality. They have to do this because they've been asked to do it. They signed up for it. They've been trained for it. And they go do it wherever. If it could be in Panama or it could be in Yemen. Could be in Somalia or it could be into Rio de Janeiro, wherever it is, wherever it might be. They go where they're told to go and they do what they're trained to do. And he said, I want you to be like a soldier. I want you to be strong. I want you not to have your own will about things. I want you to submit to the one who chose you to be a soldier. And he's talking about his mentality. Also, I want you to live simplistically. This is a challenge for all of us in here, because money is in the middle. It's in our mind. Materialism is a real challenge. I think the reason many people do not serve God with their life, and some of us will get our degrees, we'll march off of that platform, and we'll go do something else with our life. I hope it's not you. But we'll do it for several reasons. Sometimes because we're afraid. Many people do not surrender to the Lord because they're afraid. They have fear as a factor. They're afraid they won't have enough, or afraid they won't have a good life, or they're fearful that because of what they won't know the future is going to hold. Some people don't serve God because of fear. Some people don't serve God because of finances or materialism. They think about money a lot. They think about provision and what they want in their life, and it keeps them from, because no man can serve two masters. He will love the one, hate the other, despise the one, love the other, but he can't serve God and materialism. He said a soldier has to live simplistically. When he is shipped off to another place on a ship, or he is sent, he's got orders to go someplace, he doesn't bring his entertainment center with him. He doesn't bring all the models he put together in junior high. He can't bring all of his stuff. He doesn't bring his Nintendo or, forgive me, PS4, whatever it is that now. He doesn't bring all the games because he doesn't go to a country to go over there and just piddle around. He goes over there simply to get in the country, to do what he was sent to do, to get the job done and get out. So he knows that he can't get entangled with the affairs of this life. But he's focused on pleasing the Lord. And young people, I have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Listen, Miss Linda has to deal with it. Everyone on the platform, every teacher you have, we all have to battle with our mindset regarding stuff. And there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with wanting some things. You don't want to be covetous. But there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I'd like to get a new dress for the Sunday service. There's nothing wrong for a girl to want that, in my opinion. I don't think it's wrong. Or these shoes are wearing out. I probably need to look for another pair of shoes. Or this, we've got winter coming. I probably need to find a pair of boots so I can go visit. I'm going to get some boots. It's not like saying I have to just go into poverty and hurt myself or rob myself. There's nothing wrong with those things. But all of them have to be. That's why in the Bible talks about with money and materialism, the antidote to being materialist, giving. It's one of the reasons why God asks us to give. I have a few folks in my life that I've known that have had some money. And one of the things that helped them when they start thinking about their money or materialism, they start giving. Giving is an antidote to your focus upon finances. I have found not many times in my life, but a few times my wife and I have accumulated a good amount of money in our savings account. And here's what I found out about our mindset. The more money I have saved, the more I think about my money. And there's nothing wrong with saving money. The Bible says there's oil and there's treasure to be desired in the dwelling of a wise man or a woman. But a foolish person spends everything they have. They just spend it all. They don't save anything. So there's wisdom in saving. But sometimes I've found that when we save a lot of money, we keep thinking about how much money we have. And an antidote to that is to take some of that money and start investing it when I'm thinking about it all the time. And rather, if you're saving for a car or you're saving for something you want to go on a vacation, I think it's always good to do that, to have some options. And then sometimes when you're younger, you don't have that chance so much. You're using every dollar you have just about to take care of your personal needs. And if you're wasteful, then that's on you. And by the way, you ought to give to the Lord first. Then you ought to give to your needs second. And then you ought to give to yourself. Every one of us ought to say, you know, I'm going to put some aside of what I get for myself. And then I want to give some to others. The Bible says, let him that stole, quit stealing. Steal no more. But rather work with his own hands that which is good. So he'll have some things and to take care of his own and then to help others as well. This is a biblical concept. that God gives us. But the thing about a soldier, he said, Timothy, you've got to be like a soldier. Be strong. He said, I want you to be submissive to your authorities. I want you to be selfless. Don't think about yourself. Think about the person who chose you to be a soldier. And then live simplistically. Don't have to have, you know, the Bible says, put a knife to your throat in the Proverbs. When you sit to eat, when you get a chance to do something special, you're getting to sit with, eat with authorities, or you get asked to do a good job or become a youth pastor or pastor a church or oversee a classroom. When you're giving an opportunity to sit with authorities or do something with leadership, he said, put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. If you have to have the best of the best. He says, because you'll get caught up. You'll get caught up in covetousness watching. You know, sometimes I admire Brother Caleb Amorose. Brother Caleb is one of our deacons of our church. He's one of our staff evangelists. But one thing about Caleb, God made him very good at business. And his business acumen really got him on jet planes and private jets and Lear jets with some of the bigger names and more successful people in his industry. And he'd be flying to Orlando speaking at this conference and then fly over here to Houston or go do this and speak at this meeting with some of these high rollers. And what we found out and what he found out, he said, you know, Pastor, and then he started getting some things where he could get a lot more money, and he finally said, you know what, Pastor, it's consuming me. And I could do well in this, but this, I'm not made for this. And for the most part, he just said, you know what? I'm going to wash my hands of that. And I don't want to keep an appetite of very high. He could have bought a much nicer car. He just has a regular car. Could have lived in a far better neighborhood at the time, and he could have done some things. He just tried to say, I'm going to keep this simple. And you know what's allowed him to step away from a lucrative career and spend his time? Monday, he's going to Thailand. And he'll be preaching in numerous public schools and in preaching at a migrant camp in Thailand. And he can do that because he kept things simple. That's an illustration. And he's not perfect, and his precious wife's not perfect. I'm just telling you what I know about that. But that's a wise thing. If you have a large appetite for the best, or you're really got an eye for gold, you get around wealthy people, oftentimes you'll get sucked into something, and you will chase a shadow that you'll never catch. Instead, what you need to do is turn around and run toward the light and let the shadow follow you. And he's telling us, that's Christ. I had a man talk to me today, and he's in this room. And he said, Pastor, I've struggled with several things, but I keep going back to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and then all these other things shall be added to you. Paul's telling Timothy, you've got to be like a soldier. Real quickly, I've got 2 minutes. But the next thing is, I want you to be like an athlete. An athlete. And he says, no man striveth for mastery unless he also strives lawfully. Look, if you would please, at that verse real quickly. I want you to reference it. Would you mind reading verse 5 with me? Are you ready? And if a man also strive for masteries, you know, an athlete. And he's talking about probably the Olympic Games. He lived in a Grecian world where the Greeks would have the Olympics, and then they would put the olive or the thing around their head and give them a gold medal or a silver or bronze or give them something that's corruptible. It's not something that's going to last forever. But he says, if anyone wants to be good at something, they have to work at it. I love coming to chapel and looking over to my left and seeing all those gifted servants of Christ over here on instruments. I can't even play the radio without static. But these guys know how to play. They look at a piece of paper and they can make that instrument play those notes. It blows my mind. See two people sitting here on the piano and just look at that and play. Let's go to the song. And they turn, and because of their skill sets, they've mastered something that is very wonderful. People who run in a race or throw a football or hit a baseball or spike a volleyball or bump a volleyball or set a volleyball, these people, they're skilled. They want to win an event. He said they also strive for masteries. Yet are they not crowned unless they strive how? And I opened a little bit today with some comments about honesty. You gotta play within the rules if you want to wear the crown. If you want to win in life, you can't cheat your way through it. You want to have a good marriage, you can't fool around before you're married and have a good marriage. It won't happen. It's going to complicate your future. In your relationships, one with another, you've got to play by the rules. I don't care if you agree with the rules or not. I sat with one of our students who had to go home this semester, and they said, the rules are stupid. These rules are stupid. And you know, that's an opinion. And institutional rules, sometimes they don't line up. I don't know why. There's some clown that came before you that's the reason that rule's in the book. But institutionally, you have to have, but you know, in the same as with a football game or a baseball game, you can't hit the, doesn't matter how far you hit that ball, if you're not in the batter's box, it's not lawful. It doesn't matter how well you catch a ball if your feet are not inside the field of play. If they're on the line, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how well you can ride a bicycle. If you're putting dope in your arm, you get robbed of your rewards. It doesn't matter how well you swim or how well you participate or what you gain yourself to. If you don't play within the rules, it really compromises your win. And young people, I want all of you to win. I hope you want me to win. But I can't win if I circumvent the laws of life. You can't have all you want and cheat your way through it. You can't have all you can't have a good, wholesome relationship with your spouse and fool around and break the known rules that you know. Young man, you cannot have a happy future and ministry if you still want to look at things you're not supposed to look at. It's a rule. Keep thyself pure. I will set no wicked thing before my... I hate the works of them that turn aside. They'll not cleave to me. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Listen, friends, you cannot fake your way through these things if you're going to strive to do what God called you to do. You've got to play within the rules. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, be a son that's strong by depending upon the Lord. Be someone who takes what you've been given and share it with others so they can share it with others. Be a soldier that's strong, that's submissive, that's selfless, and that's simple. Simple taste. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And then be a good, disciplined athlete, somebody who looks at life and say, you know, I want to be good at what God's called me to do. And I can't be good and I can't be rewarded if I don't strive lawfully. If I break known rules, it doesn't work. And in your friend, you and I will not be the exception. There is one law of God you will never break, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You'll never break that law. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. God doesn't let you sow your wild oats and pray for crop failure. You're going to pay for that. Stay within the rules. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for these wonderful students. Help us, Lord, to take the word of God and apply it to our hearts. And I pray that I would not preach something I'm not willing to practice personally. I pray that they would pray for me, and I want to pray for them, that they would strive lawfully. Every one of us, why don't we bow our heads before the Lord? Is there anything you need to say to God right now? Some of you might need to say, God, help me, because you know you're in trouble. Say to the Lord right now, God, help me. Some of you might need to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Maybe some of you should pray the prayer, God, protect me from temptation. Some of you might want to pray, God, help me be a contented servant, not getting caught up with the affairs of this life, but focused on pleasing you. Every young person, do business with the Lord. He loves you. He wants you to win, and you want to win. Father, thank you for the privilege of just being a part of this chapel today. Please work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.